We thank you for a time where we can gather with you, pray to you, and learn of you. We pray that as we open up your scriptures today that you would speak and you would help us to understand and be changed. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Today I want to begin with a question. Where do you find your significance? Where do you find your meaning, your worth, your purpose? Do they come from within or do they come from without? Do they come from the things you do or maybe the person you are or from the people who love you? I wonder, does it have more to do with your accomplishments or your potential accomplishments or your relationships? I wonder if we actually end up finding more of our value and our worth in who knows and loves us than in what we actually do. The story is told about how the cartoonist Walt Handelsman, upon hearing of the death of Pulitzer Prize-winning cartoonist Jeff McNally, reflected, "I once received a call from an editor complimenting me on a cartoon and saying that he and Jeff McNally had just been talking about how much they liked it. And when I got off the phone, I told my editor that that was the highlight of my career, knowing that Jeff McNally knew who I was." It's hard to explain, but to have someone great know who you are brings a sense of significance to life. As we think about that, I would invite and encourage you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. While you're turning there, I'm going to remind you that today we are finishing our sermon series looking at the idea that maybe the meaning of life, maybe the purpose of our lives have a lot to do with our calling. Maybe God has called us to be a certain kind of people and to do certain kinds of things. Maybe God has given us various skills and placed us in this place at this time to help Him change our part of His world. And maybe God still calls us today. Maybe God is even calling you today. So we've been looking at our gifts and abilities, our passions and personalities, our experiences and our environment in order to piece together how God has designed us and thus how He might be calling us. If God made me like this and gave me these abilities and placed me here, I wonder if God is calling me to live this way. Today I want us to spend some time looking at some of the things we've missed in this series and even to fix some, not quite mistakes, but some oversights. And in the process, sum this whole series up. And we're going to do that by actually looking at a calling from the book of Exodus. Before I read, I want to remind you the book of Exodus begins, when it does begin, we find the Israelites enslaved in Egypt. They've been there for about 400 years, but as our story opens up, we also find out that the Lord has heard their prayers and is now going to rescue His people. And His instrument to bring about this salvation is a man named Moses. Today we're going to look and see how Moses is called and then try and understand what we can learn from his calling. And we'll start with Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, 'I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up.' When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, 'Moses, Moses.' And Moses said, 'Here I am.' 'Do not come any closer,' God said. 'Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground.' Then he said, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, 'I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites have reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what's his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. Go assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. And I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. The elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a 3-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. After that, he will let you go. And I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed toward this people, so that when you leave, you will not go empty-handed. Every woman is to ask her neighbor and any woman living in her house for articles of silver and gold and for clothing which you will put on your sons and daughters. And so you will plunder the Egyptians. Amen. Hopefully most of you remember this story from old sermons and Sunday school classes. Hopefully you remember Moses minding his own business and then the Lord calling him from the burning bush. And Moses reluctantly but finally agreeing to follow God on this adventure. And in the process, God saves his people and Moses. But let's take a deeper look at our part of that passage. As our story picks up, Moses is tending the flocks. He's out in the wilderness on or near the mountain of God. When suddenly he notices that there's a bush on fire and yet it's not being consumed. Now it should be noted that coming across a bush on fire in the desert is not actually all that strange. But of course for that bush to not be burned, that's altogether miraculous. And so we aren't surprised when Moses goes over to investigate. As he does, he hears a voice inform him that he is standing on holy ground and he should act accordingly. The Lord identifies himself, and the Lord acknowledges that he has seen the misery of his people, he has heard their cries, he is concerned about their suffering, and now he is going to do something about it. The Lord is going to rescue his people. And not only is he going to save them, but he's also going to bring them out of the land of Egypt and then give them a good, spacious land of their own. Basically, the Lord is going to give them more than they had ever hoped or believed possible. And you have to imagine up to this point, Moses is nodding and smiling and agreeing. Moses is thrilled that the Lord is finally going to do something about the horrible plight of his people. And then all of a sudden in verse 10, the Lord tells Moses, go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people out of Egypt. At which point, Moses must have done one of the largest double takes in recorded history. I'm sorry, what did you just say? I'm not going to Pharaoh. I'm not going to rescue your people. That's a God job. Who am I to go before Pharaoh? Who am I to speak on your behalf? Who am I to save your people? To which God simply replies, I will be with you. Moses then understandably starts coming up with all sorts of excuses as to why this is a bad idea. But the Lord reiterates the calling. Ultimately, Moses will go and the Israelites get saved. But for today, I want us focusing in on this unique picture of God's calling. And I want us to look and see what we can learn about the call of God from the example of Moses. And we'll start here. Throughout this series, as we've been talking about spiritual gifts and abilities and passions and callings, we've been skipping over an important and implicit point that underlies the whole conversation. In order for us to be called, in order for us to have a calling, there must be a caller. In other words, you can't be called unless someone is doing the calling. You can't receive a calling unless someone has called you. And so the first thing that we need to recognize today in light of our passage and our series, really, is that we have been called by a someone. We've been called by God. Now, this may seem obvious and basic. This is, after all, a church. But in other ways, it's unexpected and important. Because too often when we think about our gifts and abilities, our skills and passions, and even our environment and our experiences, we assume that we're the cause of those things. We've earned those things. They've come from our hard work. What's more, since they are our gifts and abilities and passions and all the rest, we can use them any way we see fit. And therefore, it's up to us to determine our vocation and our work and our purpose and our calling by simply how we want to use our gifts. In other words, we don't often see why God should be included in how we live our day-to-day lives. Why should God be included in our work decisions? What does God have to say about our vocation? And yet implicit in this idea of calling is that there is a caller. Which means discerning our calling, understanding our calling, and ultimately living out our calling today cannot be separated from the relationship that is established between us and our caller. To put it another way, we can't do what we are called to do without the help of and support of and empowering of our caller. In many ways, part of the reason that we have been called is that our calling implicitly connects us back to God. The reason He calls us is so that we might become more aware of and reliant upon Him for all that we do. The reason He calls us is so that we are reminded of our relationship with Him. He doesn't just call us to get us to do certain things. That's not the point. He doesn't say, I need this done, and so I'll give you this gift, and then go do it. The goal isn't just the thing that needs to get done. The calling invites us into a deeper relationship with Him. That's why He calls. Remember, we all as Christians have received a universal calling to become more like Jesus, to love the Lord our God with all our heart and mind and soul and strength, to love our neighbor as ourselves. And in order to live that calling, we have to be in a deeper relationship with God. We have to recognize that our calling comes from Him. But there's something else we've been missing throughout this series that Moses' calling brings to light. And that is, while it's helpful to believe that God's calling is simply a function of what He's already put in us, the reality is that maybe that's a little bit of an oversimplification of God's design. That maybe it's more complex than that. Because of this, God seems to call us beyond our perceived capacity. God doesn't normally just call us to do what would be easy for us to do. He does that too sometimes, and we should do those things. But more often than not, that our calling is to do something beyond what we can normally do on our own. When you think about it, the calling that God gives to Moses is absolutely beyond Moses' skill and ability. Frankly, if you were to look through most of the other heroes of the faith throughout the scriptures, you would see a similar pattern. God seems to call us beyond where we think we can go, and to do things beyond we think we can accomplish, and to be more than we think we can be. And in so doing, he reminds us just how much we need him along the journey. It's why after Moses gives all his excuses, the Lord continually reiterates the phrase, "I will be with you." It's as if he needs to remind Moses that Moses can't actually do it on his own. But in partnership, they can do it together. It's as if God has built into us the potential to work with him, and in so doing, be more and do more than we ever thought possible. God knows our capacity. God, of course, knows his own capacity, and therefore he knows how much more we can do together. So, of course, God is going to call us beyond what we think is possible. Because it, again, reminds us how much we need him. Amazingly and slightly disturbingly, what this actually means is that if you are able to do the things you're doing within your own power, then you may not be doing enough. Then you may not fully have grasped the calling that God has placed on your life. In other words, if you have some level of comfort within your abilities to do the things that you feel God is calling you to do in your life, you may have undersold yourself, or worse, you may have undersold God, because he tends to call us beyond what we think we can do without him. Now, that's not to say that we've been wasting our time for 6 or 7 weeks as we've been talking about our gifts and passions and abilities and all the rest. Because God does tend to call us in those categories. Moses has a little bit of leadership practice up to this point. He actually has a good training underneath him at this point in the story. Moses actually does have some skills and gifts and abilities that makes you know that he is passionate for justice, that he is passionate for making things right, for rescuing people who are in need. That actually is built into Moses. So we're not completely shocked that God would call him in that way. But then God calls him way beyond what he would think possible. Who is Moses to go before Pharaoh? I mean, really. Who is Moses to bring the Israelites, which we'll find out, well, which I'll just tell you, are like 500,000 strong. There's a lot of people there. Who's Moses to lead them out of Egypt, through a desert, and into a promised land? That's way bigger calling than Moses has the ability to do. So we're challenged then by this understanding that if you feel like this is your calling, and yet it's really well within your skill set. I'm not going to say this is easy for me, but it's easy for me. Your calling may be bigger than that. If you're just kind of volunteering here or there, but it's not that taxing. If you're being a Christian, but not very actively. If you're living the Christian faith, but it doesn't really impinge very much on your actual life, you may not be living up to your potential. You may not be tapping into the partnership that God is inviting us into when he calls us. Maybe God is calling you to be more and do more. But then beyond that, remember that part of God's calling is so that we together might be the body of Christ, which means that we as a church have a calling. And as far as I can tell, as your pastor, I don't think we, as Trinity Presbyterian Church, are living up to our full calling either. Because at the moment it feels like we are living well within our own abilities and our own means. We may not have fully grasped the calling of God in our lives together. Because God calls us beyond our own means. God calls us to live where we have to rely on Him. We have to be relying on His strength and His ability and His presence in our lives. And if that's not the case, we may be selling not just ourselves short, but Him short as well. But we can only be living as the full body of Christ in our collective calling if we all together are doing the work of Christ. In other words, it's up to all of us to hear the calling and to understand the vision and then throw ourselves on the mercy of God and dedicate ourselves in prayer and then together set to the task of living our calling in this time, in this place, as His church together. Of course, maybe you, like Moses, maybe we, like the Israelites, can't understand why God would call us to do these things in the first place. Though maybe you go the other way. Maybe for us, we assume that God is calling us to do some grand things because of how great we are. But we learn something else in the calling of Moses. Moses isn't called because of how strong he is. And Moses isn't called because of how weak he is. Moses' worth isn't the reason that he's called by God. God doesn't look down at Moses and see that he already has all that it's going to take and he's already done all the work that he needs to do. And so God's simply saying, all right, Moses, go do what I've made you to do and it'll be fine. Instead, it's God's calling upon Moses that ascribes worth to Moses. Moses isn't called because he's special or because he could be special. Instead, it's his calling that makes him special. The calling comes first. The calling is what imbues Moses not with just with power and not just with purpose, but with worth as well. As Moses steps into this calling, he steps alongside God, and then together they do amazing things throughout the rest of the story. Moses will time and time again find his worth not in his own abilities, and not in his own passions, and not in his own experiences, and not in his own gifts, but he'll find his worth in the presence of God in and through and around him. The Israelites don't listen to Moses because he's amazing. The Egyptians don't listen to Moses because he's so convincing. Pharaoh doesn't listen to Moses because he's so awesome. They listen to him because he's walking alongside God and they feel it. The reason he's so effective is because he's walking with God and walking in God's calling. The reason that Moses is strong isn't because of his own strength, it's because of God. In fact, throughout the story, the moment Moses tries to rely on his own strength and his own ability and his own worth is the time that the whole story falls apart. Every time throughout the book of Exodus that Moses says, it's because I'm the guy, look at my abilities, bad things happen. But when he walks with God, when he walks with his caller, he saves his people. And he does far more than he ever thought possible. In calling us as individuals and as a church, God is giving us value and worth. And in the process, he's revealing who he is. God has placed a calling on your life. There are things that God wants you to do that He's made you to do. And they're actually bigger than you actually can do on your own. So you're going to need His help. But that was the design all along. He's been wanting to help. And God has a calling on our lives together. There's someone that our church wants us to be, that God wants us to be. There's things that God wants us as a church to do. And they're bigger than we can actually do on our own. You know you're getting close in some ways if there's a feeling of trepidation, if there's a feeling of, I don't know that we can, that seems like more than we can do. We're going to really need God's help on this one. Which was his plan all along. He's wanting and waiting to help. Because our calling is supposed to bring us into a deeper relationship with each other and with him. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are a God who calls. And we thank you that you have placed the calling on our lives and a calling on our lives together as your church. Lord, help us to discern our calling. Help us to live our calling. Help us grow closer to you as we do. Help us rely on you to fulfill your calling, that we might work with you and do far more than we ever could on our own. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your son, Jesus, who lived his calling, who set an example for us, and who now enables and empowers us to live your calling in our lives. And it's in his strong name we pray. Amen. Let's stand as we close in worship.